In the name of the living God, creating, redeeming, and sustaining.
Amen.
Amen. Have any of you ever taken a flight on Southwest Airlines? Well, on Southwest, at least the last time I flew this airline, you have to check in early if you want a good seat. The first to check in get the A boarding preference, and those who neglect to check in until just before the flight almost always wind up with the last preference, the C boarding pass. And then the A's get to choose their seat first, and once it gets to the C's, they're pretty much stuck with the middle seat. So I have a husband who will set an alarm on his phone 5 minutes before it's time to check in, 24 hours before the flight, to make sure that he gets the A boarding pass, not C, not B either, because he likes to make it to the first of the line and choose the best seats on the plane. So Robert, who always gets an A, started to notice that he could never get A1. And he wondered, who in the world is getting A1? Because I'm on there first. No matter how diligent he would be, he could not get A1. So we were flying with our infant daughter, Olivia, and Robert was frustrated because we forgot, we were tired, and we got in the low B's because he checked us in an hour and a half late. And the flight was going to be full. It had no empty seats. And Olivia was 4 months old. We were going back to see the grandparents for the first time. And amid the crowded waiting area in the terminal, a ticket agent called us to the stand. She asked for our boarding passes and in return gave us new passes with A1 and A2. There is preferred seating for people who are handicapped or who have an infant in tow. So we walked past all of the people like my husband, the diligent A ticket holders, to the front of the line. You could cut the glares with a knife as we carried our fussy baby in the stroller up to the coveted spot. Because who wants to sit next to a fussy Olivia English? Yet there we were, the most disdained passengers with the A1 and A2 tickets and our pick of any seat in the cabin. This is a more trivial example of what's going on in the lessons we heard today from Jonah and Matthew. In Matthew, there are a bunch of workers who line up to work, and the landowner promises to pay them whatever the landowner thinks is right. And then the landowner keeps going out and finding more people to come and join the work in the vineyard at several times during the day, up until the last hour before it's quitting time. More and more join. And then it's time to pay everyone. It's the end of the day. And how does he distribute it? He starts with the ones who show up last, on through the first ones who've been toiling in the sun all day long. And each and every one of the workers, from the last to the first, gets paid the exact same thing. It's actually a living wage, a denarius, their daily bread. But the ones who were there at the beginning of the day want to know why they didn't get more than the ones who showed up last. It's important to look at the reality of the economy in first century Palestine when we hear this story. Commentator Debbie Thomas expounds, why did some of the laborers end up unemployed until 5 p.m.? The parable is very clear. Because no one would hire them. Perhaps they weren't as literate, educated, or skilled in their competition. Perhaps they had children at home they were taking care of. Maybe they had transportation difficulties. Maybe they were disabled or suffered discrimination. Whatever the case may be, the landowner doesn't ask these laborers to defend themselves. He just makes sure everybody gets to work and everybody gets to end the day with the dignity and security of a living wage. It's the capacity to go home at night and feed his family. In this parable, the landowner goes out of the way to make sure to find as many people as possible to come and work, no matter their ability to arrive on time, no matter how late they are to show up. When the people grumble about this, the landowner simply states the conditions he set forth from the start. "Do you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what is yours. Go." And then we have Jonah. Most of us know Jonah from the story about the whale, where we learn that running from God is impossible, even if you get swallowed up by a whale. And Jonah is assured in these travails that God is slow to anger, of great kindness. And most importantly, God is a God of limitless love and compassion. And so today we heard the end of the story of Jonah. Oh, poor Jonah. He's experienced God's mercy, and now he's gone to do what God's told him to do. He's gone to his enemies. He didn't want to go there. He didn't like these people. But he's there in Nineveh, and he pronounces woe upon them. Woe upon you unless you change your minds and repent from your evil ways. Now, Jonah had gone in there thinking, these people are a bunch of good-for-nothings. And he is stunned, actually infuriated, to see that they not only did change their ways, but then God poured out upon them mercy and forgiveness. And Jonah is furious! So what I think these texts are really about today are not the ones who received mercy, who received the grace. It's about the ones who are envious of God's mercy. It's something to notice. Whether someone you think absolutely doesn't deserve it receives another chance, or when someone gets just as much as you, when you've seemingly done more to earn it. In the parable, the landowner makes a point of having these folks who showed up early in the day wait till the very end to get paid, to see everyone else get the same daily wage. And then he asks, "Are you envious because I am generous?" I think this is the most critical piece of the parable. The landowner doesn't line up those who came early in the morning and give them their pay first, then send them on away, and then covertly give the ones who showed up late the same pay. No, this landowner wants the workers to see what kind of vineyard he is running. He wants them to witness radical generosity. He wants them to confront their envy and notice it, so they can hopefully let it go and join the party that is happening here, where everyone is invited, everyone's fed, they get exactly what they need, no matter when they arrived. We should be noticing and asking the same questions that God and the landowner are asking in the scripture today. Is it right for you to be angry? And that question the landowner asks of the workers, are you envious because I am generous? When we focus our responses, our reactions in the negative towards someone who's getting just as much or more than they seemingly deserve, we are missing out on the joy of the blessings of a generous God. What if we instead focused on gratitude that God's meeting our needs? and is the kind of God who makes it possible to meet the needs of everyone else, regardless of when they show up or whether they deserve it or not. Even if we find ourselves like Jonah, incensed, maddened, stamping our feet at that family who got the A ticket, cutting to the front of the line, or the family filling up their cart using food stamps, or the immigrant with the green card given just as many benefits as a born and bred citizen. God remains patient, slow to anger, and of great mercy, even with us. Amen.